as gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
It's a beautiful night, Kate. Shall we get out of here and walk along the river?
Oh, I'd rather just sit and talk a little longer, Tony.
I wish you would, honey. You haven't said much during dinner.
Well, I like hearing you talk about Paris. I could almost imagine being there. What would they call the blue mouse in French?
Got me. La mousse bleue?
No, that would be a blue dessert.
As a matter of fact, they have a little place like this over on the left bank near the Sorbonne. Giselle's.
And who is Giselle?
Oh, she's a large lady in a black satin dress who takes in the money. Kate, we've talked enough about Paris. How about us?
You really want to talk about us?
What do you think? I get back a week early from Paris. You don't sound surprised or pleased.
I was both.
I also find you made a call on my so-called wife.
Tony, Claire is your wife. Make no mistake about that. She may not want to live with you, but she's married to you.
That's Claire's language.
I had plenty of time to hear it.
Was it her idea or yours that you go see her?
Oh, she invited me to lunch and I declined. She invited me to tea and I decided to accept. Very glad I did.
I wish I'd been there. I would have found out what she wanted.
She wanted me to know that she would never divorce you.
She may have to. The laws are changing. They're changing to give the guys a break once in a while.
She also thinks that I would make you a pretty dull wife.
That is pure Claire.
Well, I've spent all my life in one small town, taking care of my husband and then my father-in-law. As she said, that could bore you.
You bore me? Hey, darling, I never met a girl like you. Let me tell you something about Claire. She invents people. Me, for instance. According to Claire, I'm helpless without her. I chase girls and then run to her for protection. It's all her imagination. It's the way she wants me to be.
And you're not.
What does that mean? You've known me for 6 months. What do you think?
I think you've got a pretty short temper.
I have when Claire gets on one of these kicks. Claire's as wrong about me as she is about you.
Maybe. But she said one thing that is true.
What was that? No, I don't want to know. You've talked with Claire. You know what she's like. Now, let's forget it for now. I'm going to take you to Paris someday, Kate. It's bumper to bumper on the Champs-Élysées now, and the telephone operators talk too fast, but it's still the most exciting city in the world to me. They've got Le Jazz Hot going again. Are you listening, honey?
I can't afford to.
I don't get it.
Tony, I'm not going to see you for a while.
Why not? Oh, Claire got to...
No, she didn't, but she said one thing that was true, and I'm going to tell you whether you want to hear it or not.
You're bound to let her spoil this.
She said that if it ever got out that my husband had been in drug traffic, it could ruin you.
Kate, we've been through this. You had nothing to do with it, and Tom is gone. That's good enough for me.
But suppose it all came out.
About you? That'd be slander. Nobody dare.
But I was with Tom all that time. Suppose somebody wanted to make trouble for me.
Was that what that kid Jeff meant when he said you were in trouble?
Oh, Tony, please don't pay any attention to Jeff. This is just between you and me.
Are you in any trouble, Kate?
As long as I have to live with what Tom did, I'm not free.
Then forget what Tom did. You don't have to live with it.
I have to live with the fear that someday the story will come out.
But it is out. You've never hidden anything, have you?
Tony, if I said yes and asked your help, could you give it?
I'd go anywhere and do anything to help you, Kate.
And maybe lose your job and end your career?
I'd let it all go rather than lose you. Kate, what are you hiding from me?
Tony, no, I just won't have it that way. If we're ever going to be together, we've got to be free of everything else.
You're young, Kate. Well, you'd know that's impossible. We fell in love. Now, we didn't ask for that. It happened. Are we supposed to act now as if we hadn't lived before?
We've both been married. We have to live with that. But what my husband did was criminal.
I told you I don't care.
But I do. Before I'd let you hurt your career, I'd give you up.
I wouldn't let you.
Tony, don't say that. Look, I have been dominated all my life. Even Claire told me that. I've got to find out what Tom really did.
Well, you can't do that alone.
Nobody else can do it for me. Oh, Tony, please leave me my self-respect or there'll be nothing between us ever.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Jeff, you still sitting in this lobby?
Oh, it's a nice, friendly place on a cold winter night.
Oh, there's not a soul here.
Nope, but you can see life go by. How was the concert?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, the kids miss you.
Yeah. Did you radiate the word I was back?
I sure did. But you're not really back until you're over there with your group.
Well, I have to meditate first.
You don't have to do anything but pull up your socks. Or put them on first.
I saw Kate tonight.
Jeff, you'd better get over that hang-up.
I did. I saw all pinstripes, too.
Oh, come on, kid. You can't fight the whole world. People are going to meet and fall in love, and what are you going to do? Just sit there in the lobby with no socks?
I got socks, Earth Mother. They don't match good. But I did serve a purpose tonight,
uh-huh.
One of Destiny's little fish hooks.
What did you do?
Set a fire under old pinstripes.
Oh, Lord. I told you, stay out of that.
I could see the gratitude in each of his beady little eyes.
What are you up to?
Somebody had to tell him that his girl's in trouble.
Mm, I'll bet Kate didn't thank you.
Mm, she got mad. She's beautiful when she's mad.
Did you tell him about that tape recording you heard?
Trudy, I don't know where Kate got it, but it's as phony as a $3 bill with all those cuts and edits.
Well, then she doesn't have to worry.
But she does. Anybody who gives a girl a thing like that isn't playing games. She won't listen to me, but she ought to listen to somebody. Well, I think we got company.
Where?
The guy who just came in, I think he's giving you the eye.
Huh?
You know?
Oh, yes, I do. Hey, Jeff, will you do me a favor? Just once?
Remove myself?
Yeah.
For you, Earth Mother, anything. I'll go to the coffee shop. Ring if you want boiling oil.
Hello, Mr. Wolf.
Why, good evening, Miss Trudy.
Ms. Kiefer, or plain Trudy.
I'd never call a lady like you plain.
Oops, but you never call me at my apartment, like you said.
Because you weren't quite honest.
Who, me? Oh, look in my big blue eyes.
You said you knew Kate Wakefield slightly. Matter of fact, you're very close friends.
Well, girls are like that when a man comes around.
Oh, you're also amusing and very bright. I get the feeling you know a great deal about me.
Enough to know you're making things mighty tough for Kate.
As a matter of fact, I'm trying to help Kate, or things will be tough.
Okay. She's not here.
Which is probably another fib. However, I don't need to see the lady.
Look, Mr. Wolf, I may kid around, but when I say Kate isn't here, she isn't here.
Well, then I'm sure you'd be willing to see that she gets this note.
Well, sure. Mind if I read it?
Not at all. I'm simply asking her to meet me.
Well, I wouldn't count on her accepting.
Miss Trudy, the Romans kept geese to warn them of danger. Kate, it seems, has you.
I don't get it. Or do I?
The truth is, I'm a friend of Kate's, as I was of her late husband. Something you know nothing about.
I'm to mind my own business.
It would be wiser. I'll leave the note with you.
Mr. Wolf, you're right. It isn't my business. But why are you trying to frighten Kate like this?
I assure you, I'm not frightening Kate. What she's afraid of happened a long time ago. I'll expect to see her tomorrow.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Authors Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Authors Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrill. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrill has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrill's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrill, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Here, my faithful listeners there, and let us get on with the derangements of my novel, Vanity Fair. Ah, what a tangled web we weave when... So I quoted that before. Never mind, bears repeating. When first we practiced to deceive. A tangled web Becky Sharp and Rawdon Crawley did weave, and now must unweave. Unweave, is that a proper word? Well, it's no time to consult Mr. Johnson's dictionary. Let it stand. You may be sure Mr. Charles Dickens will let me know if I have erred. Now, where did I leave off? Oh, yes, 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 yes. At last, Rawdon and Becky are alone in the parlor. Miss Crawley safely banished upstairs.
Gad, sweet Becky, I have a thousand questions.
I have a thousand answers.
Damn questions. Kisses first.
Ah, kisses later, my love. So much to settle before we're interrupted.
Later. Waited 3 days, 3 nights.
Have I not as well?
And can deny me now?
No. Oh, I thought I could. I can't.
Wait, I'll close the door.
Oh, don't.
Don't.
Miss Briggs may come back from her cousin's.
That's why I closed it.
No, no. She listened to keyholes. She was crouched at the keyhole when Sir Pitt proposed. She told your auntie, or we'd not be in this new tangle.
All right, all right. The devil with keyholes and Briggs and doors. Becky, my dove, my own, my wife.
Oh, Lord, my heart, my master, my husband.
Oh, dear listeners, let us grant that pretty pair a few blissful moments of privacy. Dear knows they've had none since their secret wedding night. During their indulgence of kisses, we shall betake ourselves upstairs, where Miss Crawley is shrewdly questioning poor Giles, who scarce knows what to answer.
Giles? You and your mistress are very close, are you not?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I dare say she tells you all her secrets.
Oh, and I couldn't rightly say that, Miss Crawley.
Come, I know she does. Now, Giles, I may as well tell you I am quite bewildered by the recent turn of events.
Oh, what turn?
Don't play the innocent. There's more than meets the eye to this affair. I need further information which I'm sure you can supply.
Oh, well, if 'tis Miss Becky's secret, I can't supply.
Very loyal, I'm sure. But you are both in my employ, and your first loyalty is to me. What is going on that Miss Rebecca Sharp keeps from me?
I don't know, Mum.
You do know. I can tell you know. Twisting and turning your apron like that, darting your eyes all about. Who is this sudden new man who has come into Becky's life and quite taken it over? Don't deny you know who he is.
Oh, I don't deny.
That's better. Now tell me of him, all you know. Speak up. Speak up, gal.
Oh, Miss Becky loves him.
Good heavens, that much I know. Let us start at the beginning. Where did she meet him? Giles?
Miss Crawley, you're to meet him on the morrow, your own self. Now, please to ask all your questions then.
I am asking them now. Why must anything be secret? Is there something wrong with the young man?
Oh, no, ma'am, he's perfect. You'll love him like her loves him.
How very curious. Becky said I would love him as I love Rawdon. How could I? Perfectly absurd statement from you both. I want an explanation of all this.
Oh, tomorrow.
Today. Now. You will tell me what you know. I'll not be put off. If you persist in your evasions and your silence, then you are disloyal to me, and I shall be compelled to send you back to Queen's Crawley. Did you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
you must send me back to Queen's Crawley.
Brava, child. Brava. Downstairs, enough of kissing and murmuring and kissing and sighing and kissing. In the twinkling of an eye, as we shall interrupt. Now explain to Rawdon why the time has come to confess all to his auntie. She believes it, Mr. Sedd believes it, and Rawdon be... What?
I don't believe it, Becky. Tis not the time to reveal all to auntie.
Rawdon, darling, always you've wanted to tell her. I've had to stop you every step of the way.
Did stop me, persuaded me it was dangerous. Now you want to turn everything about.
I told you why, a dozen reasons.
But you've always said she must want us married, must be her idea.
Dearest, I did want that, but it can't be now. Sir Pitt will make trouble. He'll tell her I am married, and that will open a hornet's nest.
Blast him.
Oh, don't you see the fat is in the fire? We're forced to tell her now.
What if she cuts us off without a shilling? Have you thought of that?
Have I thought of it?
You know she's my only purse. Papa gives me nothing and never will.
Oh, do stop saying what I know. Of course I know.
You're sure this is the time to tell her?
Quite sure, dear heart. This minute she's all sentimental sweetness about me. And you heard what she said before she went upstairs.
You are my most favorite two people.
Did say that, Bad Joe. Did.
She vows she'll be a mother to your Rebecca, and she dotes so upon you she'll pardon you anything.
Yes, but hang it, Beck, she has the devil's own temper.
Oh, I don't say she won't be shaken when first she hears the news, but need we fear more than passing anger? I think not. Mr. Sedd thinks not. I am sure not. Oh, don't you trust your Becky?
You know I do. You've a head for us both. I never saw your equal, and I've seen some clippers in my time.
Your auntie is so used to me now, she can't do without me. She said only yesterday, this house is a mausoleum without me in it. Oh, darlingest,
something tells me we shall conquer. You shall leave your loathsome regiment, quit gaming and gambling and racing, and be a good boy. We'll all live here in Park Lane together, and Auntie will leave us her fortune. Oh, say you believe it, too. Do you laugh, yes or no?
I just remembered how you rode my stallion at Queen's Crawley. You'll conquer Auntie the way you gentled that kicking horse.
Oh, my dearest, we'll agree then. Now, let us plan exactly how it shall be done.
Miss Becky.
Oh, come in, Giles. Come in. Oh, my, what a cloudy thing.
Oh, her upstairs asks terrible questions, Miss Becky. She says there's more than meets the eye in your talk of a new young man.
Becky.
And so there is. Miss Crawley's not a fool. Now, don't let her questions bother you.
But she said, if I'd not tell all I know, she'd send me back to Queen's Crawley.
You didn't tell?
No, ma'am.
Oh. Good girl.
How could you think it, Miss Becky? Before I'd tell a word, I'd go back to Queen's Crawley. And likely she'll send me, too.
Oh, no such thing. You know how she blusters and carries on and then does nothing. That's how it will be tomorrow when Mr. Rawdon and I introduce her to my new husband.
I say, Beck, I'm not so sure.
I can hear her now tell you exactly what she'll say.
What? What? How dare you be married? Lied to me, tricked me, made a laughingstock of me. Out of my house! Out! And not tuppence will you have from me ever.
Good Gad, we can't tell her.
Oh, no, Miss Becky, you best not.
Hush, both of you, I've not finished. And she's not finished. Hark to what next she'll say. My two darlings married and in secret. How romantic. What sly ones you are. But I'll not be cheated of a wedding. We shall have another enormous one, all fashionable London there, to see my precious nephew and my dear adopted daughter plight their troth. For your wedding present, you shall have £10,000.
Bless my soul. You think so, Beck?
Oh, 20,000, I think.
30. Look here. Can't wait for tomorrow. Today. Tell her today.
Oh, no, my love, no. We must plan every word. Oh, Giles, why have you that cloudy look again?
Oh, no, Miss Becky. I come all over queer. Oh, don't like none of this. Don't like it at all. At all.
Well, not sure I like it either. Nevertheless, place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets. Win or lose, I am your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Charles Kimbrough portrays Rawdon Crawley. Catherine Balfour, Miss Crawley. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Claro. To know you're the best you can be.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On. and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Well, dear, I'm glad you talked us into eating out.
Ah, good. How's your dinner?
Oh, delicious. I love sweetbreads, which I never fix myself, and they're so good here.
Well, these veal birds are just wonderful.
Are they?
I wish I knew how they fix them. They're even better than mine.
Well, I'm certainly saying something, Aunt Maggie, and I'm glad you said it instead of me.
Oh, well, they're just wonderful. An unusual flavor.
Well, they probably have some wine in them, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I think I had the best dinner of all.
Ooh, what did you have again, Debbie?
Pork tenderloin with
wild
rice. Ooh, heavenly.
Well, it's a nice place to come, I think, this old Red Mill. And when we get through eating, let's go into the gift shop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, you're going to spend an hour in the gift shop after dinner?
Oh, we'll just browse, honey.
I like to get some note paper. I noticed when we walked through the gift shop on our way in here that they had several different kinds of note paper.
Yeah.
Some were the loveliest flowers, some were birds, and I think there were some snow scenes or something.
Well, I want to pick up some of their homemade fudge, which is really just out of this world.
How do you expect to diet and then buy fudge?
Well, it's a problem. While I'm nibbling on the fudge, I'll work on it, dear.
Mother, you don't need to diet anyway. I don't think mothers should be as skinny as real.
How are mothers supposed to look?
Well, motherly.
I'll think that one over. How's your dinner, dear? Bob?
Huh?
How's your dinner? You didn't say. What's the matter?
Oh, well, my leg of lamb is great. And the whole dinner would be a lot better if those people at the next table would stop blowing smoke our way.
Oh, well, they're not deliberately blowing smoke our way. It's just coming our way.
Why do they have to smoke? Can't that guy wait until he gets outside? He's finished dinner.
He'll keep your voice down. You want him to hear you?
No, I agree with Bob. I don't think people should be allowed to smoke in restaurants or any public places.
Dear, don't waggle your hand like that.
I'm getting the smoke out of my face.
Well, the man has a right to smoke if he wants to.
I'm not saying he has no right. I'm saying he has no consideration for other people.
Well, when you smoked, I don't recall you had any consideration for other people. You never even thought about it.
I'm going to have southern pecan pie with whipped cream for dessert.
I'm going to, too. I think everything looks good. Deep dish apple pie. Mm. No, deep dish blueberry pie.
No matter where we were, I do not ever recall that I heard you say even once to anyone, do you mind if I smoke?
Okay, so now I don't smoke.
Well, having been a smoker, I should think you'd be more tolerant of people who still do smoke.
Tolerant? I think they're idiots, endangering their health.
Well,
and
let's not keep your voice down, dear.
You can read it on any pack of cigarettes.
Here.
The Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking is dangerous to your health.
All right. Order dessert.
Smoking can produce cancer of the lungs, mouth, throat.
Look, if you're not going to let that man enjoy his dinner, can we enjoy ours? Now, please, just get off your soapbox.
You can also get emphysema.
What is the matter with you? The man at the next table just glaring at you. He is furious.
I hope he is.
Dear.
I hope he realizes how annoying his smoking is to other people in this dining room.
Well, now, Bob, just because you stopped smoking.
I stopped smoking, Aunt Maggie, because I realized how offensive I was to people who do not smoke.
Uh-huh. You stopped smoking, one of your Rotary Club pals dropped dead of a heart attack.
Well, I don't know why anybody does smoke. It's a terrible habit. It tastes terrible, too. And I agree with Daddy. I don't like smoke floating past my nose while I'm enjoying my food.
Well, the man is lighting up another. Just chain smoking.
Hey, excuse me. Would you mind not smoking? I said, would you mind not smoking?
You, asking me not to smoke?
Yeah, that's right. My wife, my aunt, my daughter, and I would appreciate
it. Well, frankly, I don't see any sign around here that prohibits smoking.
Well, I don't see any sign either. I just thought that common courtesy
would... Well, it so happens that I look forward to having a cigarette with my coffee after I finish my dinner.
Bob, dear, please, will you let it go?
Yes,
dear.
For goodness sake, let's not make a scene.
Daddy, sit down.
Dear.
Well, I understand how you can enjoy a cigarette with your coffee after dinner. I used to be a smoker, too.
Oh, you're one of those wise guys who's given up smoking, so now you're going to preach to everyone else, right?
Marvin, now sit down.
I'm a good singer.
Bob, will you come back here and sit down, too, please? Will you come here?
I will smoke if I want to, Buster. This is a free country. So...
Of course it's a free country. I'm only trying to make you aware of people around you who do not smoke and who would like to eat dinner without being surrounded by billows of smoke.
Now, listen. I like smoking. I enjoy smoking. I like a cigarette after dinner with my coffee. And if I die from smoking, it's no business of yours or the Surgeon General.
It is my business when you blow smoke in my wife's face.
Bob, dear, will you come back to our table?
Marvin, sit down.
No! I am not going to put up with some little clown telling me what to do.
Well, he's right, anyhow. You should give up smoking.
Ah!
Dear, now Bob started a quarrel between the man and his wife.
I think Bob started more than that. Here comes the manager.
Gentlemen, now what seems to be the trouble here?
Well, I simply asked this man politely not to smoke, which was annoying to my wife, my aunt, my daughter, and to me.
But smoking's not prohibited, sir.
Well, it ought to be.
Well, I agree. My sister and I are at that table, and we were just saying how offensive it is when smokers are sitting near you and just puffing their smoke right at you.
Oh, I wasn't puffing my smoke at anyone. I have a perfect right to...
Oh, you can hear Bob.
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula to know you're the best you can be.
Never been so embarrassed in my life. Never. Debbie, hang up your coat, dear. Please don't just dump it on a chair.
Well, I thought it was exciting. Everybody in the restaurant had something to say. All the non-smokers yelling, he's so right, he's so right.
Yes, and all the smokers yelling, he's so right, he's so right.
I thought Daddy was right.
Well, it's not a question of who was right. Daddy caused a scene.
And I'm glad I did. You notice the manager said that now there would be a part of the restaurant just for smokers?
Yes, fine. Pretty amusing to me. You certainly never worried one whit about people who didn't smoke when you did.
Okay. So, now I do.
Well, I think all restaurants are going to have to do that before long. More and more people are giving up smoking.
Well, anyhow, thanks for taking us out tonight, dear.
Yes, my goodness. The food was just wonderful. And that pecan pie with whipped cream.
Oh, I love it, but it's so rich. I never can eat a whole piece.
Hey, here's an item in the paper tonight that I need for social studies tomorrow. Can I rip it out?
Daddy hasn't seen the paper yet, dear.
Well, there's nothing on the back, just an item.
Well, all right. Rip it out carefully, then.
Oh, let me have the crossword, Debbie, if you run across it.
Oh, here it is. It's right here, Edmund.
Look how pretty the view is across the valley with the twinkling lights. Well, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you so by making a scene at the restaurant.
Oh, it's all right. It's just that since you stopped smoking, you've become so intolerant of anyone who smokes. Really, dear, you're just sort of fanatical. Like all converts to a different point of view, you just go off the deep end.
Well, I think if you realize how dumb you were, it's sort of a duty to point it out to others who are still making the same mistake.
No, people don't like things pointed out to them, dear. They really don't. You know, you used to get so mad at me when I asked you to cut down. Just cut down, at least, on your smoking. I think it made you smoke even more.
Yeah. Well, I saw the light. I did. I really did. And I feel like a million all the time now. I used to feel tired and dragged out. I'd get sore throats. I coughed a lot.
How long did you stop smoking?
Oh, Bob stopped in July. I think it was at the beginning of August, somewhere around in there. It was, 5 months ago, maybe a little more.
197 days.
Good heavens, you're counting the number of days? Of course, the really good part, when Bob decided to quit, he just threw his pack of cigarettes in the wastebasket, and that was it. Never thought about it since. Never bothered him, has it, dear?
Yes, I've thought about it, and it has bothered me every single one of those 197 days.
Bob!
It has.
It's very commendable if you wanted a cigarette all of a sudden and haven't taken one. You haven't, have you?
No. But that guy was right. To sit back and relax after enjoying a good dinner and have a cigarette with your coffee.
Dear, now don't think about it, Bob. Dear?
I want a cigarette.
Honey,
Bob! No, I do. I was downright obnoxious in that restaurant tonight. That guy was right. I was so all fired high and mighty preaching at him. when all the time I really wanted to light up myself.
Now, Daddy, you're not going to spoil your record now and start again.
Thank heavens we have no cigarettes in the house and the village store is closed.
Oh, Bob, no. Now, don't even think about smoking again.
I feel like a hypocrite.
Don't think about it. Don't say. Let's get his mind on something else,
Why
everyone.
Why don't we call Maynard and invite him up and we'll play bridge?
Yes, dear. Or we could play Monopoly. Hmm. And if I win Park Place, I'll give it to you. I'll even sell you all my utilities cheap.
Oh, thank you.
You like those.
But I think bridge with Maynard is a better idea.
All
Come
right.
Up, Anthony.
Yes, let's do that.
Daddy, please, stick it out, okay? For me, huh?
Okay, Debbie. Now, you go upstairs and do your studying, and don't worry.
Get off the card table, dear. Let's get his mind on something else, Aunt Maggie, you know?
Yeah, right. I hope so.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. Comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrill. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrill has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrill's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrill, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Thanks so much for bringing me home, Marge.
Sure. Are you sure you wouldn't like to go out for something to eat, Angela?
No, not really. I just don't feel like being with people. I mean, strangers.
I understand.
Oh, can I fix you a drink?
No. You sit down. I can find my way around your place.
The scotch is under the counter, and the soda's there if you want it.
Right. You know, I hate to leave you alone when you're feeling so down.
I'll get over it, but thank you.
I like your apartment. Very much like you. Now, here. Doctor's orders.
Oh. Thank you. Did you see Jason today?
Yes, briefly.
How do you think he's holding up?
Well, if I didn't know him so well, I'd say he was doing fine, but
I know. Must have been hell for him, knowing about Emily all this time and only able to talk to you about it. Oh, Marsh, it's so unfair. A brain tumor when Emily has everything to live for, the children and Jason.
I know, Angela. Oh, come on, sit down. I mean, pacing up and down like this will exhaust you.
Yes, but I want to be exhausted. I want to be tired. I can't think. I want to forget it. God, I didn't mean that.
Oh, yes, you did. You do, and you can't keep on like this. Angela, are you sleeping well?
No. I lie in bed, going over everything in my mind, wondering what will happen, thinking of my own life.
Yeah.
I'll get you a sedative tomorrow. I'm sorry, I don't have anything with me.
Oh, well, just your being here helps much.
I'm glad, Angela.
You know, I keep thinking of what it would be like if this had happened to me. If I'd been told that I'd die soon.
That's pretty normal. We all think of things like that. Review our lives.
And then I realize how very little I've let myself feel. How safely I've lived. I wonder who that is. Hello?
Angela.
Oh, yes, Jason. Is there anything the matter?
Angela, could you come over?
What is it?
Well, Jennifer's very upset. You see, her kitten was just killed.
Oh, no.
And, well, Emily's with her, but it's harder and harder, too. You can understand.
Look, I'll be right over. Is Emily all right? Marsha's here now, if you need her.
No. She's all right, physically.
Well, Marsha will drive me over.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Bye.
What's the matter? What happened?
Oh, Jennifer's kitten's been killed.
Oh, no. Not Charlie.
Yes. She loved him so. Oh, Marsha, I don't understand it. It's as if everything is suddenly upside down.
Come on. Come on, I'll drive you over.
In a minute.
Are you sure you're all right?
I'm fine.
No. No, Angela, you're not. You worry about everyone else, but who worries about you? You go on so long being strong and acting strong.
Come on, Marsh. Let's go.
All right, but you can't go on like this. You're just as human and fragile as anyone.
Daddy.
Hmm?
Where did you put him?
Well, honey, I wrapped him in a towel and put him in a box in the garage.
Did it hurt him very much? I mean, when the car hit him.
Well, honey, I think he died right away. No, he didn't suffer.
We'll have some hot soup in a few minutes, dear.
Oh, Mommy. He was such a special kitten.
Oh, yes, darling, he was. Oh, that must be your Aunt Angela.
Hello, Jennifer.
Charlie's dead.
I know, honey. Your daddy called me, and I came right over.
Did Marsh go home?
Yes, he didn't want to intrude, he said. Look, I'll see what I can get together for dinner.
Well, I'm heating some soup for Jennifer. I don't think she wants too much.
You feeling better, Pumpkins?
How can I, Daddy? Charlie's gone forever, isn't he?
Yes, I'm afraid he is.
I'll never see him again.
No, honey, you won't.
Oh, Daddy, why did he have to die?
I really don't know, sweetie.
If we hadn't gone outside, he'd still be alive.
Jennifer, there's no way to know how things will turn out.
I never knew anybody that died.
Yes, I know, dear.
Where do they go when they die?
Well, some people believe they go to heaven.
Would Charlie go there?
Well, I guess if there's a place like that for kittens, Charlie will find his way there.
You carry on, Angela.
Em, are you feeling all right?
Oh, I feel weak and exhausted, that's all.
Will you sit down, Emily?
Everything's ready. It's in the oven. It'll be done in half an hour.
Oh, she seems to be taking it all right.
Oh, she loved him so. He was the first pet she had.
Well, soup's almost ready.
You know, this is her first experience with death.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
How do you explain death to a child?
How do you explain it to anyone?
Oh, come on now, honey. You're the one who always cheers me up.
I'm sorry.
I wonder if we ought to get her another kitten right away.
Oh, no.
Well, why not? She'll get over the loss of Charlie faster if she has another one.
Oh, wait a day or so at least. Maybe she won't want another one.
She will. In time. Well, let's put the soup on a tray. I'll take her up to bed and stay with her until she goes to sleep.
Let's have a drink, Angela.
Yes, please, Chester.
Oh, by the way, thanks for coming over.
Well, I'm glad you called me.
What was Marsh doing at your place?
Oh, he drove me home and I asked him in for a drink.
Oh, I see.
He's the only one I can talk to about Emily.
Yes, I know. It's hard knowing something like that.
I just keep thinking it can't be true. That Emily will be all right.
Well, Angela, we can hope. Oh, I had lunch with Dad today and I told him.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he asked about Emily and I couldn't keep lying to him, so... Anyway, I asked him not to tell anyone else.
Yes, I guess people will have to know. There. Oh, that's the last of the soup, honey. Do you want anything else?
No, thank you, Mommy.
Do you want to brush your teeth? I know you're pretty sleepy.
I forgot.
Well, I'll turn down your bed while you go do it.
Can I wear my red jumper tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. I think it's at the cleaners, honey. Do you have dance class tomorrow?
Yes. We're going to learn something called the plié.
Well, I'll pick you up afterwards and we can do some shopping. I want to get some shirts and socks for Bobby. He's going back to Harvard in a few days.
He and Susie don't know about Charlie.
Not yet. I'll tell them when they come home. Here. Hop in.
He always used to sleep on my bed. Now he never will again.
Oh, darling, now you remember all the good times you had with him. All the fun.
It's hard to do, Mommy. I miss him so much.
I know.
Remember how he used to lick his paw and then rub it all over his face and whiskers?
I remember.
Where do cats go when they die?
I don't know, dear.
Doesn't anybody know?
I don't think so.
Mommy, will you leave the light on?
All right, darling. Give me a kiss. Good night.
Good night.
Do you want me to stay with you until you fall asleep?
Oh, yes, please.
All right, dear. I'll be here.
And to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.